Welcome, everybody. This is Len Foley with longevity expert David Wolf, and this call is on adrenal and hormone health. Many of us believe that exhaustion, weight gain, loss of sexual potency, and even anger and panic attacks are symptoms of old age or maybe even stress, even as we approach our 30s and 40s. But what if these symptoms are not the result of a diet or stress or aging, but are actually caused by a hormonal disorder? Unbeknownst to many people, hormone problems are misdiagnosed many times as depression, especially in women. Longevity expert David Wolf will be discussing the role hormones play in our lives and how to reset this delicate balance as the stresses of modern life take their tolls on our bodies. Welcome, Dave.
Thank you, Len.
So I think it's important that we open up this particular call today with just a brief description on some of the implications of not being aware of the role hormones play in our health. And if we're not aware, we're usually going to be doing other things to correct problems that we're having, and when in reality, the real problem is our hormones are completely out of whack. Based on your research over the past 6 to 8 months on this particular topic, what are some of the recommendations you have for people who may be suffering from some serious disorders right now or issues with their emotions, physical issues?
Well, I think it's a great idea for everybody who's in some kind of a health crisis to get their hormone levels checked, to get the progesterone level checked, to get their testosterone level checked. And this is definitely for women. Men don't have very much progesterone. It's made very quickly and then transmutated over to another hormone very fast. But I'm speaking mainly to women here. Progesterone, testosterone, DHEA, and at least at 3 different estrogen levels, which is your estriol or estradiol and your estrone. And from those 6, then you can pretty much see your picture of where you are hormonally. Now, I had a friend of mine do that because she had all kinds of problems, and I thought, this is a hormone problem for sure. And she was completely out of estradiol. She was completely empty. I mean, absolutely almost at a 0 on progesterone. And this was the cause of her insomnia, as we found out. This was also the cause of her night sweats. She was going through menopausal symptoms, very extreme. And I said this before, I'm going to say it again, and it's very important to hear it over and over again, that we live in a civilization that's basically sprayed us with DDT, which is a bad estrogen, and there are many different types of bad estrogens we've been exposed to. There's also metabolic bad estrogen, which builds up in our system. And then as we age, due to improper diet, lifestyle that's not really conducive to building hormones, for example, we're not out in the sun, we're not touching the earth barefoot, we're not actually in the elements, we're not working out maybe hard enough, we end up having no progesterone. So we have 2 problems. We have an estrogen buildup, which can start to imbalance things, but then we have nothing to oppose it, which would be progesterone and testosterone. And we've got to get a baseline on those things and test for those just to see where we are. And every doctor does that. Any doctor can do that. Any naturopathic doctor these days can do that.
You've mentioned that this is an issue for women, but also men who may have excess estrogen in their bodies, this could be a serious problem as well.
It's affecting everybody, and it's just like thyroid. Thyroid is another hormone problem, by the way, and you should also have your thyroid checked, and you should use the guidelines that Truth and I put out in our thyroid health program, because you don't want to just have your T3 and T4 checked out. You really have to look at your thyroid-binding globulin hormone that gets in, and it's a protein that gets in your blood that holds the T3, and there's about 8 factors, and so you need to get a little bit more sophisticated with that as well and try to get a baseline on that. This is affecting men and women, and it's a problem of civilization because of the chemicals that we've dumped into the environment, which have an affinity for our reproductive organs. They have an affinity for our glands. They tend to be xenoestrogens, and they can start to contribute or even trigger problems like bone loss, problems like chronic acne. Because these are the things, Glenn, over the years, I have seen that there is no, like, food cure for chronic acne. It's a hormone problem. And then there's also a number of other things that come up quite regularly that just food doesn't have an effect. One of them is bladder infections and kidney infections and urinary tract infections. which according to the last conversation I had with Dr. Yu, it's hormonal. If you don't have enough estradiol and progesterone, then you become susceptible to kidney infections, and you can become susceptible to all kinds of infections. But that one in particular can be very intractable. And those of us who are listening right now who have that situation come up once a year, once every few months, know what I'm talking about. And hormones can help to actually knock that out, build you back up, and give you that vigor back. And hormones are related to vigor and vitality. Another hormone that is being talked about a lot right now is human growth hormone. Human growth hormone injections have saved the lives of a few friends of mine who are very, very ill and were like about to check out. That's something you want to do all the time once you're healthy, but it can kickstart you and bring you back from a very, very dangerous place of lack of energy and just complete fatigue.
Well, supposing we're diagnosed with a serious hormone imbalance, is there an alternate option rather than taking, say, some kind of a steroid or some kind of chemical concoction that a doctor might prescribe?
Well, we always want to go natural first. I think, Len, you know that about me. That's my approach. Of course, first we go natural. We don't want to get into bioidentical hormones before, unless it's needed. And bioidentical hormones do work, and they do fight cancer, and they actually are good. We are very familiar with a very popular bioidentical hormone, which is insulin. All this insulin that people are injecting is actually a bioidentical hormone. Now, once you get on it, you're on it. That's the thing. So, you know, we want to go natural first so we can avoid that if we have to. But if we can't, you know, then we got to take the appropriate steps. So let's talk about, like, what it takes to actually reset the hormones and build them up naturally. One aspect of it is we've got to get rid of the bad estrogen and lower those levels down. And this is bringing forth a really amazing product that I'm a big fan of, Len, and I'm not sure how far you've gotten into this product, but I love it. It's the EstroBlock, which is the indole-3-carbinol.
Sure.
That's my pick, actually, of supplement of the year, is indole-3-carbinol. And it helps your body to break down the bad estrogen and drive it off. And it can do that in a period of, if you do, say, 3 to 5 capsules of EstroBlock per day, according to the naturopath that I've been working with, they're telling me that it flips the estrogen around within 30 days. So it can knock out a huge chunk of the bad estrogen and drive off, which is a fighting chance. That's where now we've got a chance because we still have to build the progesterone and testosterone. But nevertheless, we're not carrying such a burden of bad estrogen in our system. That's one step. And there's a lot of steps. Should we get into them all in? What do you think?
I think for the people who made the commitment to purchasing this DVD program, I think we don't have any choice. But before you get into that, I want to talk about the EstroBlock. Is there a downside? Like, what if I don't want to get my hormones checked because I think I'm in pretty good health or I'm young and, you know, I still have a lot of vitality. I recuperate quickly when I exercise, don't get a lot of panic attacks, not gaining weight. Is that still a beneficial thing for people to take at all ages and at all stages?
Yeah, that's been my experience. I think it's actually great for people at all levels of health. And why? Because we've all been exposed to huge amounts of bad estrogen. For example, we've heard it before. Maybe we haven't actually. It depends on how young we are. But DDT has affected every single mammal on Earth. Every single mammal on Earth is contaminated with DDT. DDT is a bad estrogen. It can be driven out by indole-3-carbinol, or at least lowered. And therefore, it's probably a good idea that we take stuff like this. What is indole-3-carbinol? It's actually a broccoli concentrate. It's concentrated out of broccoli. So you get all the magic of broccoli without the goitrogens for anybody who's concerned about that. And therefore, it fits in a very nice niche. And this is something that's been heavily researched and heavily used over the last 15 years. And it just does the trick. Do you have to take it every day for the rest of your life? No, not at all. You take it for a while until it does its job. And then you can just let it sit. And you kind of know when that is. But definitely at minimum 30 days.
And for women as well?
For men and women, absolutely. More importantly for women. Women are more sensitive to these hormone problems because their hormone system is a slightly bit more sophisticated than a man's hormone system. Plus, you know, there's a more severe menopause than what occurs in men, which is an andropause. And generally, women are more hip and more in tune because of the hormone equation. They've got to stay a little bit more on top of their health and a little bit more in understanding about how these hormones are affecting them, how bad estrogen affects them, and then beyond that, how to clean up, you know, all that once you're ready to clean it all up.
All right, let's kick into some of the program then. Let's talk about like a full throttle approach to help rebalancing a person's hormones. What would you recommend as a second step after the estroblock?
Okay, well, there is a big problem with methylation in our civilization. So what does that mean? Methylation is a pathway of detoxification, and many different natural foods and almost every fresh food contains a methyl group, and that's carbon and hydrogen basically together. I think it's actually CH3, carbon and three hydrogens attached. And that methyl group is a donor, and that's what we see in methyl sulfonyl methane, like MSM. It's one of the reasons why MSM is so valuable, because it helps your liver to detoxify. One of my favorite detoxifiers using methyl groups is trimethylglycine. Well, why are we on the methyl groups, and what does that have to do with hormones? Methyl groups are apparently missing in all bad hormones. So the way I've been able to understand it is basically our whole life is sprayed with chemicals. You know, we're eating it, it's all over, it's in the atmosphere, it's all over the clothes. Our body uses methyl groups to neutralize those toxins. After a while, we start developing a methylation disorder or a problem. This affects anywhere from 10 to 49% of the country in the U.S., according to whatever you believe. I mean, some people say it's 10%, some people say it's almost 50%. Of the population has a methylation problem. I think it's kind of high. I think it's up to like around 49%. I think that's accurate. And we are not able to detoxify properly. And as a result of that, we're not able to hold the good hormones in place, which require methyl groups. And the good estrogen, like estradiol, for example, or estriol, can become an estrone. It actually will flip into a bad estrogen. And that bad estrogen, by definition, is a hormone that's missing a methyl group. So bad estrogen equals missing methyl groups. That's a big story right there. That's a big discovery. I don't know if anybody's really put that together. I had to put that together through cross-referencing a huge amount of information in this hormone field. But I do know that the methylators like MSM, like trimethylglycine or betaine, like vitamin B6, like vitamin B9, like glutathione, like methylcobalamin or B12, have profound effects on removing bad estrogen. And that's been known for quite some time. A really good one, by the way, a really great remover of bad estrogen, and we're going to get into this as we get a little bit further down, is melatonin. That melatonin is the reason why people get to sleep. It may not be that melatonin replaces the lost sleep hormone, but may in fact be that melatonin helps your body knock out bad estrogen. That may be at least part of the story or all the story. We're not really sure.
Is melatonin an actual hormone, isn't it?
Melatonin is a hormone. And that's also another bioidentical hormone that people are taking. And a lot of people take it to go to sleep. And the traditional story about that, Len, is that you take it because it replaces your sleep hormones. You take it an hour before bed, and then boom, you're kind of out in an hour, and that's normally how it's used. However, there's a deeper story to melatonin and, in fact, to serotonin and all the tryptamines, which are derivatives of tryptophan. And that is, they have an effect on bad estrogen, and they help to knock out bad estrogen out of your system. And that may be a fundamental pathway in which they work. Indole-3-carbinol is very, very similar in its structure to many of the tryptamines like melatonin.
Let me ask you something, Dave. I know there's a lot of concern sometimes if you go on some of these programs indefinitely. And would you suggest that if someone's going to start taking maybe even something benign like MSM on a regular basis, is it a good practice to maybe take a week off a month? Like if you're going to go for a full month, take that next week off, like the fifth week, and not take anything? Or is there some things you should always take no matter what? Like, for instance, MSM or like even just goji berries. Is it best to have these things cycled because they're so powerful, or are there some substances a little bit more amenable to our body than others?
General herbal wisdom is always behind the idea of cycling through everything. That's just a general idea of herbal knowledge, and it's also a very important food idea. If we eat too much of one thing, we can actually develop an allergy to it and a response to it. So we always want to change it up. And yes, I think taking a week off here or there when you're taking MSM or anything else, it's a really good idea. However, when we're dealing with hormone-related nutrients, foods, hormone builders, or bad estrogen removers, or anything like that, there's a whole other thing that comes to light, and that is it's more important than ever to cycle these things on and off. If we get into the habit of at exactly noon I do my Indole-3 Cardinal, at exactly 3 I take my MSM and Trimethylglycine, glycine, at exactly 6 p.m. I take my maca and Tongkat Ali and cacao and passion flower tea smoothie, right? Then what happens is we'll get an effect for a while, but then it will actually diminish because there's somewhat of a resistance that's created by some of these hormone metabolites. And so let's say you're able to produce the progesterone. Well, it may not get in because you've been doing things so rhythmically that it's created a little bit of a resistance by the receptor site. And so we always have to be very much arrhythmic when we're dealing with building up hormones or restoring our Jing. Do something for a while, stop it. Do it for 2 days, stop it. Get on it for 3 weeks straight, stop it. Get on it for a month, stop it. Be off it for 3 months, that kind of a thing. But we're always mixing up everything in a haphazard way that falls into this category of a bad estrogen removal system and hormone building system.
So we're always heading towards the same goal, but just using a variety of different tools in our arsenal, kind of like chaos gardening. You know you want to create the best garden, but sometimes just throwing seeds out there is a little bit more fun and better than just trying to create everything in a straight line and say, I only want to grow broccoli here no matter what, and then just saying this is what, you know, and breaking the garden up that way rather than kind of letting the garden kind of dictate its own growth in life depending on the terrain.
That's what I always think of, and I always think of that exact analogy because I am more of a chaos gardener. I like to just, you know, let the plants go wild, and if they can't make it, then they don't make it. You know, I want the stuff that's strong that makes it. That isn't the exact best gardening ethic because you could waste time. There's a lot of experimentation to it. It's been figured out how to properly garden in my neighborhood. You know, I had a guy over here the other day. He knows exactly what to do. And, you know, probably I do exactly what he says. But when we're dealing with hormones, if we get too rigid about it, it's not going to work. We actually have to kind of break it up in that arrhythmic cycle, which is nice, and it allows for that little bit of that chaos energy to come in. And now there's a whole bunch of stuff I could say further, Len, about Indole-3 Carbinol, but I do want to mention just some normal foods that have very good ability to remove that estrogen. And one of them is citrus peel. Now, we should never, ever eat the peel of an orange or a grapefruit. It's toxic. In Chinese medicine, they use it, but you have to age it. It has to be actually properly prepared. You can, however, have the peel of a lemon or a lime. And I recommend that when you do juice your lemons or your limes, actually every now and then throw the whole thing in there with everything, the seed, the peel, the whole darn thing with lemon and lime. And that has an affinity for bad estrogen. Citrus essential oil is essentially the same stuff from the peel, has that affinity for bad estrogen. Iodine is known to be a very powerful deactivator of bad estrogen. And there's a lot of research in iodine that was hushed up from the 1920s and 30s. Dr. Patrick Flanagan really was the guy who turned me on to it. I'd heard about it even when I was a kid. You know, I think for my parents in the medical field, they always knew the power of iodine. It was still in the medical training that they got, that's obviously been driven out since then, since the 50s and 60s. You know, by the pharmaceutical industry. The iodine is essentially able to shut down polycystic breast disease and other bad estrogen types of conditions. So something to look at. We really support, Len, you and I, we're into nascent iodine. We're turned on to it by Truth Calkin. It's one drop. You know, you do 1, 2, 3 drops. That's all you need. It's very easy to do. It's simple. Another thing that is really good is fiber. And the more fiber you can run through your system, in particular, the one that's been studied is defatted flax, which is like a lignin-rich fiber. And you can get that. You can actually purchase that, and you eat that in the way you take Metamucil in the old days or psyllium husk. And that drawing power of that defatted flax that moves through your system sucks out the bad estrogen. It actually draws through your intestines and out. A food that's very heavily studied in its relationship to that estrogen. And it's a high silica food. It's not always a raw food, but it's very powerful and a wild food. When I've seen this food grown all around the back canyons right by your house, and it's oats. All those dead grasses you see all through the Southern California ecosystem, it's all invasive species of oats from Europe. And wild oats, we've all heard about sowing your wild oats. Oats are extraordinary food for longevity. They have an affinity for bad estrogen. They draw it out. And they're high in silica, so they're good for your bones. And I've said this many times over the years, but I've just felt like oats really are something that we should really look at as our cereal, if we like cereal in the morning, if that's something that we're into. And then another category, and of course I hinted at it, is the cruciferous vegetables, of which broccoli is a source of indole-3 carbonyl. Cabbage can also be a source of indole-3 carbonyl. Indole-3 carbonyl is metabolized into DIM or DIM, diindole-methionine or something like that. Anyway, that particular compound, indole-3 carbonyl, and its metabolite DIM, are naturally in cruciferous vegetables like cabbage, like broccoli, like mustard, like radishes. And if you don't have a goitrogen problem with those vegetables, then by all means do juices with them. And it's possible, I've been asking for doctors on this, no one's giving me a straight answer, but my feeling is that when you juice cruciferous vegetables, you destroy the goitrogen, because the goitrogen in cruciferous vegetables are very volatile, and they're probably very easily destroyed by juicing. They're definitely destroyed by heating. And then berries, that whole group of berries, every kind of berry, blueberries, goji berries, huckleberries, blackberries. I love the wild Russian blackberries that grow in Northern California. What an amazing superfood that is. And then they contain, apparently, calcium D-glucarate, or CDG. You may be hearing more about calcium D-glucarate because it's another antagonist of bad estrogen, like indole-3 carbonyl. Not as powerful, but still there, and it's usually derived out of berries or apples. It's also found in cruciferous vegetables. So that's a pretty good little rundown of things that we can start adding in on a regular basis to help draw out the bad estrogen.
One food you mentioned, Dave, was your oats. Obviously, you go into a supermarket, you're going to see 1,000 different kinds, Quaker oats, raw oats, regular oats, whole oats, you know, steel-cut oats. I know Peter Ragnar has a recipe where he takes the actual full oat that hasn't been cut or squashed or pummeled into, you know, a flattened, you know, thing that we're used to seeing in our you know, instant oatmeal. He'll take that and he'll soak it in a thermos overnight with warm water and goji berry. And apparently he claims it's the most delicious food on the planet. I haven't really been able to nail the recipe quite as good as he claims it is, but I do know they feel amazing in my system. Like, they're really heavy and really potent superfoods. They feel like superfoods, actually. Like, can you just get regular organic oats in the health food store? And is that as good as the whole oat? Or does even like a Quaker oat suffice?
Great question. I'm actually not the person to answer it because I never buy oats in a store. I only eat wild oats. So I'm kind of a fanatic about wild food. Yeah, when I'm in Southern California, for example, when I'm trying to think of when I was out there, it was in the summer. It was actually last summer. And I was out hiking, and I just was eating wild oats left and right. And I'm at 800. I just got tuned into that at a very young age when I first got into raw foods when I was about 23 and got into it, and I've done it ever since. I've never bought oats in a store. I've never bought them in bulk. I have grown them because I did have a whole bag of oats that was left over by a friend of mine who was staying at my house, and I ended up just throwing them in the garden. So I have grown them and just kind of checked them out, eaten the blade, chewed on that, like you can chew on that like wheatgrass. But oat is better, in my opinion, than wheat or spelt or even barley because it's high silica, and that means good for bones. And I've been waiting for years for somebody to do like an oat grass product. We definitely see oat straw, which is high silica, great for tea. You see oatmeal products, which you just named a few. But oat grass is also really darn powerful as it is as a powdered grass, just like you do wheat grass powder or barley grass powder or barley grain.
Well, since probably many people on the call have never seen a live raw oat, I've actually never seen a live raw oat myself. What is something we can strive for? Like the closest proximity to that type of oat, would it, like, is it green or is it brown?
It's the wild oat is, it's kind of interesting. It's actually more brown or tannish. It has a like a bran around it that's a little bit, you can prickle yourself a little bit. It has one pointy edge to it. And the way that we normally see them in the stores, like the Quaker oats that y'all grew up with, they've been rolled over by rollers, like stainless steel rollers that have flattened them. So they normally aren't flat like that. They're more, I would say, almost amphora shaped. You know, they're long, cylindrical with pointy ends. That's what a wild oat looks like. So I hope that answers your question. But just to jump back, is what we're getting at here is we're looking at foods and strategies and lifestyle that can actually remove the bad estrogen, build up the good hormones. And we've gone through two so far. You know, we're just at the beginning of this. We've gone through the bad estrogen in relationship with methylation, and that the bad estrogen is missing methyl groups. So we have to bring in methyl groups, and beets and goji berries, by the way, are excellent sources of methyl groups. Beet and goji berries, they're the best in the whole natural foods world. And that's where we get it from food. All raw foods contain some methyl groups. But then if we want to get it supplementally, I really like trimethylglycine and MSM, in particular trimethylglycine, because it tastes good. There's no resistance. You can just add it to everything. So we've got the methylators. Now we've also talked a little bit about the foods that remove the bad estrogen. But Len, we've got to keep going. We've got to get into now what aromatase is and natural aromatase inhibitors and what the heck is that all about. And that's where we're going to get into a little bit of a discussion on two flowers that are very, very prominent in herbalism, and people drink these teas all day long, chamomile and passion flower. Should we get into those?
Absolutely. I mean, yeah, most definitely.
Okay, so there's another thing that's going on hormonally as we age, and that is our good hormones, like progesterone, get converted into bad estrogen. And there's a reason for that that we've already discussed. It's missing a methyl group. We don't have enough methyl groups. We're totally toxic because we've had all the stuff sprayed on us, and we're eating all the toxic stuff our whole life. What we need to do then is we need to add in methyl groups. We've already seen that. But there's another thing that we've got to do, and that is we've got to stop the action of a particular enzyme that's usually present in fat cells. And this is why it's very important to make sure you do not gain excessive weight. That enzyme is called aromatase, and aromatase will aromatize progesterone and turn it into bad estrogen. It will aromatize testosterone and turn it into bad estrogen. It will aromatize DHEA and turn it into bad estrogen. And so we have to have natural aromatase inhibitors that stop that from occurring. And the top two are passion flower and chamomile. We've heard a lot about resveratrol from grapes and grape skins, and we've heard about it from Japanese knotweed, Polygonum cuspidatum. Resveratrol is also an aromatase inhibitor. We've heard a lot about olive oil, how important that is for longevity, and olive leaf. Well, it turns out that olive oil, olives, and olive leaf all contain oleuropein, which is actually an aromatase inhibitor, which really strongly now is convincing me and kind of showing me the method of action in which the longevity is achieved that is in olive oil. It has to do with oleuropein. And that particular compound, also found in leaves, it's found in olives as well, has a particular ability to help you hold your hormones in longer. And then there's quercetin, which you may have heard about quercetin. It's in onions. It's in all different kinds of raw foods. And that's another one that's a natural aromatase inhibitor. So we've got to try to get these things coming in as, you know, an irregular part of our diet. I do passion flower for a while, then I stop. Then I do chamomile for a while, then I stop. I like passion flower tincture because over the years I've learned that the passion flower powder tastes horrible. It's awful. It's great if you can do it, you know, maybe after encapsulate it or something, but I've never been able to stay with it. So I've always done the tincture and it works, and I feel it and it's amazing. And chamomile tea is delicious, amazing. I love chamomile tea, so we're on with that. Chamomile in the traditional Aztec shamanic system of herbalism is actually the number one ranked herb. That blew my mind when I found that out. Passion flower, it's number one in Aztec traditional herbalism. You know, and there's a lot of Aztecs still living in Mexico City, at least 3.5 million, of which I've actually studied with a couple of Aztec herbalists. And that was always a surprise. I was like, chamomile? You know, not that you take that to calm down at night, that's as far as it goes. But there's a whole different story there, a deeper story, in that it's an aromatase inhibitor. It helps you hold on to your manhood or womanhood longer, which makes sense because it's a flower.
You know, there's one thing I want to mention to everybody on this call that you may be a little overwhelmed hearing all these different words and things you've never heard of before, and it may seem very complicated. In actuality, Dave has really done the research to put the basic building blocks of great health together for us, because what's really complicated are the number of toxins and just the junk that's in our food and our atmosphere and our air and our water. Everywhere we go, we're touching toxicity. And that's what's really complicated. This program, yes, there are a lot of different names of things we may have heard of, substances that we have to ingest that we've never even seen before, but it does definitely work against the immense complexity that has become our modern world. And so I recommend, a lot of people like talking about the problem and getting really frustrated with the problem when they hear about all the different things that are injected into our atmosphere on a daily basis, from chemical plants on, you know, down to even what goes on our wall as house paint or in our walls as electromagnetic radiation. I think it's worth spending more time on the solution, which is what Dave has done and laid this out. And if it takes a little bit of time to understand this stuff, to try one thing at a time, building up our reservoir of health protocols, it is completely worth it, because things aren't going to get better in our environments until they get a lot worse, in my estimation, because there's a lot of turnaround that still needs to happen. And it's like turning around a huge ocean liner. Sometimes it takes miles before it can even stop in order to turn around. And so our train has already left that station, and we're headed there pretty quickly. So we needed many of these things in our cabinets, in our homes as possible, so we just know how to deal with the situations as they arise. So I just wanted to give a little public acknowledgement for you, Dave, and some of the research that you've really engaged in with all these doctors and the hundreds and thousands of books that you've read to really bring it down to the basic essentials and rediscovering a lot of things that people haven't heard before. For instance, you mentioned, you know, the peel off citrus fruits. That is something that's been around for thousands of years, and that's only recently been reintroduced into our culture as an anti-cancer agent. It just does innumerable things, but until we've rediscovered it, no one had ever heard of it before. So Dave is out there right now all the time, actually traveling the world looking for these solutions.
Thanks for that, Len. That's really what we're dealing with here. We're dealing with a menu. It's a menu at a restaurant. And hopefully one day we'll have our own restaurant out there, Len, and it'll be like an elixir bar, grounded restaurant. A lot of fun where, you know, you can get your, you know, bad estrogen destroyer smoothie and all these other things. But in the meantime, you got to turn your kitchen into that pharmaceutical cabinet that's all natural. You know, the thing that the great herbalists always had, which is all, you know, all these great herbs and cupboards and all this kind of stuff. But the main thing about that they were able to do, they were actually able to use it. So you start getting the stuff and you start playing around with it, you use it, and you go for it.